Lister stood in the mahogany-panelled library. He helped himself to a foot-long Havana cigar and sat in the huge leather reading chair. The 12-feet-high double doors swung open, and Rimmer strode in, grinning.
Listy! Long time no see! I was going to invite you, but,
You've done pretty well for yourself.
I'm getting by. So, 2 years. Has it really been 2 years?
Yup.
So, you finally came to see me. How much do you want? 1, 2, 3, 4 pounds?
Rimmer threw back his head and brayed loudly.
You're a smeghead, Rimmer. You really are a smeghead.
But a rich smeghead, eh? Seriously, what do you want? A couple of mil?
I want, Lister said, leaning forward, to go back to Earth.
Come again?
This isn't Earth.
Rimmer smiled uncomprehendingly.
I'm afraid, Arn, we've taken the wrong turning. Somehow, we've wound up playing better than life. We're just a couple of game heads.
Better Than Life was intended to be the zenith of computer game technology. A metal band was placed across the forehead, and underneath it, needle-thin electrodes punctured the skull and burrowed into the frontal lobes. Tiny computer chips in the electrodes transmitted signals directly to the brain. No screens, no joysticks. You were really there, wherever you wanted to be. It was only a month after its release that people realized it was addictive. Better Than Life was withdrawn from the market, but illicit electronic labs began to make copies. It was the ultimate hallucinogen, with only one real major drawback. It killed you. Once you entered Better Than Life, once you put on the headband and the needles wormed into your mind, it was almost impossible to get out. This was partly because you weren't even aware you were in Better Than Life in the first place. The game protected itself, hid itself from your memory. Your conscious mind was totally subverted while your body slowly withered and died. At first, well-meaning friends tried to rescue gameheads by yanking the headset out of the skull, but this always resulted in instant death from shock. The only way out of the game was to want to leave it. But no one ever wanted to leave. Rimmer followed Lister down the narrow white stone steps to the roof garden, where the party was still in full swing. It couldn't be. It was... well, it just couldn't be. Lister was jealous, plain and simple. The poor boy had flipped.
Heard from the cat?
No, he's on some island off Denmark. Haven't heard from him since we got back to Earth. You?
Lister shook his head, grabbed a bottle of Dom Perignon from a passing ice bucket, and they sat down. He rolled back his sleeves.
Let me show you me arms.
Your arms?
Both me arms look perfectly normal, don't they?
Rimmer looked down at his perfectly normal arms and nodded. He started looking round for his bodyguards.
But they hurt like hell. And when I put ointment over the spots that hurt, it spells out a message.
Rimmer shook his head, smiling.
Amazing!
Watch.
Lister took a jar of cold cream out of his jacket pocket and daubed dying on his left arm and U equals BTL on his right.
Someone's trying to get a message to us.
On your arms through the cold cream?
Look, if we are in the game, we won't know we're in the game. It protects itself. It won't let you remember that you've started to play it.
But we didn't start to play it.
No. We don't remember starting to play it. That's different.
Rimmer flopped back in his seat and looked round the roof garden. He looked across at the sous chef atop a ladder, carving generous portions of meat from the barbecued giraffe which slowly rotated on the 40-foot spit. Could this really not be real?
If we're in the game, we're wandering around somewhere with electrodes in our brains, totally oblivious to the real world. Someone in that real world is trying to tell us where we are by burning or cutting or scratching a message into my arms. U equals BTL. You are in Better Than Life. And dying. In reality, I'm dying. I'm a game head.
But it doesn't make sense. I thought when you're in the game, all your fantasies were supposed to come true. But look at you, stuck in some hick town in the back end of nowhere with a wife and 2 kids and no money.
Money isn't important to me. Rimmer snorted. Bedford Falls and everything else. That was everything I always wanted.
Come on, Rimmer. Face facts. Look at this place. The Rimmer Building, overlooking the Champs-Élysées. Your company inventing the solid gram. You're married to the most famous actress in the world. Is any of it even remotely credible?
Lister stood up.
Who the hell are they? The guys under the parasol?
Napoleon Bonaparte, Julius Caesar and General Patton.
And what are they doing here?
Rimmer Corporation Worldwide PLC have developed a time machine. I've been playing around with it for a few months, inviting famous people from different eras in time to pep up a few dinner parties.
Lister was looking at him in a strange way.
What's wrong with that? You don't think that's believable?
No, I don't. I think you just wanted to meet these people, so your imagination had to cook up a nearly credible explanation to bring them here.
Nonsense, said Rimmer, but without conviction. Could it be true? Could he have fantasized the invention of a time machine just so he could bring back Caesar, Bonaparte, and Patton, the three greatest generals in history, simply in order to beat them at Risk, the strategic war game for ages 15 and over? Could he really be that small-minded?
Come on.
Lister drained the bottle. We've got to find the cat.